get it almost every night. And when that moon gets so big and bright, it's supernatural delight. Every border was dancing in the moonlight.
Hello, I'm Susan, and this is Kickapoo Nightlife. This week, Carol's on vacation, so I'm doing the show all by myself. And we will cover a number of things today. We're going to talk with Scott Lind about lighting. But normally our program will have all kinds of different interviews and topics, so stay tuned each month for what's new on Kickapoo Nightlife. Today's program sponsor is the planet Jupiter. On October 13th, Jupiter will be very close to the waning moon before dawn. If you're up then, look to the southeast sky. Conjunctions of moon and a planet are beautiful but brief. While Jupiter and the moon are dancing in the sky, Jupiter's 97 moons, and there's probably a lot more of them, hundreds of other smaller objects that orbit the planet, but they're not all moons. And they're all rotating around Jupiter while Jupiter is moving back and forth close to the moon. Ganymede, which is larger than the planet Mercury, and there are rocks as small as pebbles and boulders, and they're all part of Jupiter's mysterious worlds. Volcanic activity, subsurface oceans, reversed orbits are some of the things going on around Jupiter. And I'm not really sure how all the moons and little particles can orbit one way, and some of them then can orbit another way, but they are doing it. So Jupiter's presence in our night sky joins the moons, and it's worth taking your time to go out and look and watch this beautiful conjunction. You are listening to WDRT 91.9, Viroqua, Wisconsin. And today, and we're going to skip a lot of the little parts and episodes of our program we often do, and we're going to talk to Scott Lind from Ontario. He's an electrical engineer, and he's president of our Kickapoo Valley Dark Sky Initiative, and has been very active in bringing better lighting to our communities. Many of you know him or may be familiar with his work locally. He's a consulting electrical engineer with Mead and Hunt in Middleton, Wisconsin, where he focuses on designing sustainable and reliable electrical systems for commercial, industrial, and public facilities. With more than 30 years of experience, Scott's passionate about designing outdoor lighting that respects all the other species we share the planet with. He has a Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering from Iowa State University, and he's a licensed professional engineer in Wisconsin. Additionally, Scott holds Master Electrician and Commercial Electrical Inspector licenses in Wisconsin. Today, we're talking with him about recent updates in lighting technology and what's been going on in our communities this year to improve public lighting. And there's been quite a bit going on. So welcome, Scott.
Thank you, Susan. Happy to be here.
Yeah. We talked to you a few months ago, but you've been really busy all year, and we thought it'd be good to have you back on the program to let the community know all that's been going on. There's so many of our local communities that have been looking at making lighting changes, and it's just really exciting. So we'd like a kind of an updated summary of what's been going on the past few months locally.
Yeah, really, very exciting, and lots of folks in the surrounding communities that are really engaging in this effort. And I want to thank all the partners in the villages of Lafarge and Westby and Ontario, Wilton as well, Elroy now, as well as Viroqua, of course. But what's been happening really is a lot of installation of 1800 Kelvin color temperature fixtures. Mm-hmm. I think we'll talk more about what that means, but those are very warm fixtures on multiple buildings in all the communities I just mentioned. And then the campground in Wilton, I've just finished converting that campground lighting to 1800 Kelvin for all the pole-mounted lights there.
Is that a private campground or a city campground?
It's a city-owned campground.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I just finished redoing Norcrest Senior Apartments in Norwalk. I didn't mention Norwalk earlier. Retrofitting all their outdoor lighting, 2200K for most of it, some 2700K on the building, but all the outdoor lighting there has been retrofitted now. And really, the most exciting thing to me is the streetlight retrofits that have just recently occurred. In Westby, there are now 6 fixtures installed at various locations at 2200K.
Now, when they put 6 fixtures in a town the size of Westby, is that a test? They're testing them for a while, or they just couldn't buy more?
It was a test.
Okay.
It was a test to see how they performed and how they liked them, and they do like them. And so I'm actually, I've got calls from them now that they're going to order more fixtures. So there'll be more fixtures going up this fall yet. Because the focus on energy incentives for those fixtures are so fantastic right now, that they can pay for themselves in months, literally pay for themselves in months.
So how long have those lights been up in Westby that they've had to assess them?
I would say maybe 6 weeks.
Yeah, and they like them so much they want more,
right? Yeah. We have 6 that are installed in Cache and all in one location right in front of Organic Valley's headquarters in Cache. If you drive by Highway 27, there are 6 fixtures there that they installed.
Mm-hmm.
We just installed 5 on the north edge of Lafarge in front of the Organic Valley structures there on that street. And I'm delivering 1 tomorrow to Elroy to do as a test again.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, all the folks that have installed them really like them, and I expect more to get installed.
And what do they like about them? Because you and I know from working on these dark sky issues for so long, there's a lot of money to be saved over time with these things. So is that what's really driving these towns to make changes,
I think it really is. Sorry, I think it really is that. I mean, the focus on energy incentives for these lower color temperature fixtures has the huge benefit to us of reducing the light pollution from those fixtures, as we talked before, and we'll talk again about why that is. But those incentives reduce the cost of that fixture to $57 for those municipalities. And there's energy savings for those, and that's why the payback in many cases is months. In almost every case, it's less than a year.
Yeah, now when we think of putting in solar for power in our house or something, we look at payback over years.
Yes.
But you're saying these streetlight fixtures will start saving the city money, paying them back in months.
In months,
yeah.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. So it's really because of the fact that these fixtures are on 2 different lists. They're on a DOT qualified list for street lighting, and they're on a focus on energy list for rebates. And the fact that they're on both lists is what makes it so affordable for the municipalities. And it is a municipality thing. And there are currently bonuses available for rural municipalities, which all of these are rural municipalities, which boost that incentive by 60%. So it's really the confluence of all those things that makes that really, really short payback possible. Otherwise, it would be a longer payback. But even so, it might be 2 years or 3 years, which still for a fixture with a 10-year warranty is nothing.
But, yeah, it's a win-win no matter
it's
what.
It's a win-win no matter what.
But boy,
what.
If they really want to save, what's the is there a time run out of this program?
There's currently a time run out. They have to be installed by the end of 2025. I'm hoping this program will be renewed, but we don't know yet, and there's no guarantee. So the incentive right now, no pun intended, the incentive right now is to get these installed by the end of the year to make sure you lock in that savings.
Yeah. Any other towns that we haven't mentioned? It's pretty much all of them right around us.
All of them right around us, yeah. And Richland County, we did a lighting assessment for Richland County about a year ago for all the county-owned lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And the first place I'm looking to work with them on retrofitting is their highway department. So we've done an analysis of the existing lights, and I'm hopeful that when we present that to them, which we haven't yet, that they will consider retrofitting those existing wall-mounted lights. Primarily, there are some pole-mounted lights there, but very cool, very blue, 4,000, 5,000K unshielded, I call them glare bomb wall packs, to a 2,200K zero uplight wall pack is the goal there. And then other places across the state, of course, as well.
So maybe we can, this is a good place to shift into explaining to people a little bit without getting too technical, but try to give them a little bit of information about the terms you're using and what the impacts of these choices are for our biology, our community, our bottom line, but what are we doing here when we change these lights out?
Well, I've mentioned the term Kelvin a lot, mm-hmm. and Kelvin has only to do with the color of the light coming off of the fixture. It has nothing to do with the design of the fixture, has nothing to do with the amount of light. It's strictly the color of the light. And so that's the units for correlated color temperature. And as you add more blue to the spectrum of these LED lights, the Kelvin number goes up. So a high Kelvin number like 4,000 or 5,000 has a lot of blue. 3,000 Kelvin still has a lot of blue. The lower the Kelvin number, the less blue content there is. And as a result, there's less scatter in the atmosphere. So the term we use is relative sky glow. Relative sky glow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you choose a 4,000 Kelvin source instead of a 2,200 Kelvin source, you'll increase sky glow by almost 75%
mm-hmm.
if you change nothing else.
But the brightness of the light has not changed, even though the color of the light changes.
That's correct.
That's something that trips up a lot of people, thinking that yellow light is not as bright as the blue light, but it actually is no different.
If you measure the foot candles in the ground, the foot candles will be identical.
Yes.
Right?
I think that's a big point that
yep.
people get lost in.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
And part of that is triggered by eye sensitivity to blue light, which
mm-hmm.
is true for a lot of other species.
Mm-hmm.
Most species that have been studied have a high sensitivity to blue. And so in addition to the blue light scattering much more in the atmosphere because of that short wavelength, we're also more sensitive to it when we see it in the atmosphere. And so those two things together are what makes that blue content of LEDs so detrimental for the environment.
Is there a difference in the glare between a 2200 and a 4,000 or 5,000?
There is, yes, and that scatter in the atmosphere starts, you know, right at the earth level, right at ground level, right in the
mm-hmm.
atmosphere. It starts to scatter right away. And also, there's something about the biology of our eyes, at least. I'm not sure if it's true for other species. And I'm not a biologist. You know, I don't have that expertise. But there's something about our eyes that also that blue light has more of an impact on our ability to see because of the glare coming off of that. So
mm-hmm.
as the color temperature goes up, the glare, probably because of the sensitivity, the glare goes up as well.
It seems to me it might have something to do with contrast. I'm just guessing on this, but when that if it makes a lot of contrast, you have those really dark shadows that you can't see into.
Right.
And a very narrow focus of what you can see.
Right.
So I'm just guessing. I have no idea if that's what's going on. But
well, certainly the contrast is key, right?
Yeah.
I mean, uniformity, the residents, for example, the residents at the senior facility that I was talking about in Norwalk, right? Those light levels are all set down to the IES minimums,
mm-hmm.
to the IES minimum levels. And I can adjust them up for them. I told them I'd be happy to do that if they go up, because they're all in dimmers, we can do that. But I set them at a low level just to see what happens. They love it,
mm-hmm.
right? And because it's so uniform,
mm-hmm.
and that's the key. They don't have a glaring light shining right in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They have good uniform illumination.
Yeah, this is a little bit of what you're used to. You forget there's other realities that might work.
Absolutely. We see so much bad
yeah.
out there. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So anything else about... when you mentioned the changes in the lights with Richland County, the shielded from going up, and a couple other things. So what else about these lights besides the Kelvin is different from what they have?
The key thing, in addition to color temperature, is how they're shielded, where the lenses are. And so when you have a lens on a fixture that's only on the bottom of the fixture,
mm-hmm.
then almost by definition, unless it's sagging down below the opaque part, it's not going to throw any light to the sky,
mm-hmm.
right? All the light's going to be below 90 degrees. And we call those zero uplight fixtures. That's the technical term for them, is zero uplight
mm-hmm.
fixtures. So we're replacing a lot of fixtures that aren't zero uplight. Many of them are with a lens in the front, or they're spherical globes, that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
with fixtures that only have a lens on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a huge difference in how much glare you see and how much scatter you get to the sky.
Right. Okay.
The other thing I'll mention is that the lumen output of these fixtures, because we're putting dimmers on them to control the output, I have set many of them at very, very low light levels, right? Still within the standards, but very, very low light levels, because almost every installation that I see is overlit compared to the standard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to get energy savings that way as well and get really fast paybacks because of that.
So the dimmer it is, the less electricity it's using.
Correct.
And that doesn't have anything to do, that changes the amount of light, but the Kelvin doesn't.
The Kelvin doesn't change. The amount of light does change.
Yeah.
And so when you can do both, when you can lower the color temperature and you can lower the lumens to save the energy. That's, you can get really fast paybacks.
Okay. So there's a sweet spot there for what people like, probably in any given situation, between dimming it.
Yep, too dark or too bright, right?
You put your color temperature where it's healthy for the environment and your health, but then you dim it to whatever degree.
Whatever you need for the application, correct?
Yeah. Okay.
And that varies by application, right? Mm-hmm. Depends on what you're trying to use it for.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, hopefully that helps sort these things out. We're going to come back to it every once in a while in different interviews about the technical. So people, when they go in, I think, into a store and look at light bulbs, and there's all these numbers on a package of light bulbs now, and whether it's interior, exterior light, a lot of us just glaze over and we go, I want watts. You know, we don't know what we're looking at.
Right.
And we keep reviewing this a little bit, and I think it'll help people get an idea. We have more information about these lights. We can use it.
Mm-hmm.
We can use this. They put it on that package so you can look at, you can use the information.
Right. Yeah. You can look at the lumen output, which we used to think about in terms of watts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody kind of knows what a 60-watt light bulb looks like in terms of how much light you get out of that. And now we have to think about that in terms of lumens, because the wattage is really, there is some consistency within the LED product line between watts and lumens, but that does vary a lot as well. And so you really need to look at how many lumens you need, how much quantity of light do you need, and that's measured in lumens.
Is there a way people can use their already in their brain thinking about watts? I want a 60-watt bulb over my door outside, and understand a comparison for lumens and watts?
I think...
How do they know?
Well, what I would say is, fixtures now, LED fixtures now are at least 100 lumens per watt. But if you want to think in watts and not lumens, you should roughly take a factor of 10. So just roughly, right?
Okay.
This is not an exact number. But if you want a 60-watt equivalent, buy a 6-watt LED.
Okay.
Just about a factor of 10.
Okay.
But I really would love people to start to look at the lumens and learn what the lumens mean.
I think that will happen over time, but you need a little doorway in when you're there by yourself and don't have anyone to really, because the clerk can't always talk to you about that. You know?
Yeah.
And I know I've lived in other countries where they use metric, and you walk in there. We're one of the only very few countries in the world that don't use metric, you know, and you're a little overwhelmed, but pretty quick, it's not a problem to use that at all. So I think we'll get there.
Yeah. Yep.
So can you talk a little bit about a broader kind of look at what you've been working on? Because you've been doing some state and national work and giving presentations and connecting with industry and other people in various places. I mean, you've been to you're going to New Orleans to something. So kind of what's going on with the bigger picture?
I mean, I will say the snowball is getting bigger quickly, and it's rolling downhill faster. And so I'm getting inquiries nearly daily now from folks across the state of Wisconsin and other places. But, I spoke at Light Fair in Las Vegas, which is kind of the premier place for lighting designers to go in May, talking about warmer color temperature light sources.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to New Orleans to the Street and Area Lighting Conference, leaving Sunday for several days there. And I will talk to lots and lots of manufacturers, but I've already been working with about a half dozen manufacturers, talking to LED chip manufacturers for the very source of the chips that get put into the thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of specifications I'm working on. So Mead & Hunt does a lot of military work, and so there are federal specifications for lighting like there is for anything else, and I'm going to submit recommended changes to those specs. I just spoke again with the state of Wisconsin specifier for lighting, and the recommendations I made earlier this year there will be incorporated into the next round of state specs.
So with the military, would that be dealing with things like the lights on their bases and that
Correct.
Kind of thing?
That's exactly what it is.
I stayed at this beautiful home outside of Joshua Tree, out in the desert, a beautiful location, and it happened to be literally a half mile above a huge military base there.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you what an incredible glare bomb that place was. And here it's a dark sky place. They're trying to do astronomy. It's a huge tourist place.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of reasons there for protecting the dark sky, and this base is just astoundingly wasting light, and we're paying for that light as taxpayers. That light's going straight up into the air, and hardly, I don't think 10% of that light went down because so much was going up in the air. So if you could fix some of those, I'd really appreciate it.
Well, here's the thing that's ironic about that is that the current standards, the current military specifications, actually want zero uplight fixtures.
Really?
They actually want 3,000 Kelvin and lower color temperatures.
Why
already.
Isn't it happening?
Well, first of all, who knows when the work that you saw on that base was installed, right? We don't know if it was installed in the last 3 years or installed 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So they, just like most of us, they aren't going out and taking out old fixtures and replacing them, but the new stuff that's getting done should be. But I do a lot of project reviews at Mead & Hunt. We have partner firms, and we do internal reviews of work, technical reviews. It's amazing how many folks that do that kind of design work aren't aware of those. So they've done it the same way for the last 10 years. That's how they do it. And they weren't aware that, oh, by the way, the standards have changed.
Oh, they don't look at that when they just go in and renew something.
Well, right. So it's very common that that happens. A lot of it is being done in new installations. But so what I'm proposing to do to the federal specs is lower those color temperature numbers even lower, right?
Mm-hmm.
And talk about other factors they can do to add controls and that kind of thing to minimize. Because obviously, a military base needs good lighting, right? We need that.
Oh,
we need
that
for the operations. Yeah. That's why it goes back to what I said about what's the purpose of the light.
Yeah.
But you can do any particular application in different ways and accomplish the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And so the goal is to minimize the peripheral damage that comes from the light that's needed to do the task.
Yeah, and when you look at all the bases everywhere, all the there's countless military installations around the world.
Right.
If they tuned up their lighting alone, they'd save a lot of money.
Well, and they were one of the earliest adopters for LEDs.
Yeah.
They really were. So I think they see the value in doing that. So it's just a way of, the idea is to just kind of massage that more, right? And to also educate those folks that are doing those designs. But yeah, there's a lot of work. I'm doing a lot of work across the state with other municipalities. Trempealeau is one example.
Yeah, there's a sports complex there. Do you know anything about that? There's some concerns about something being built there that the lighting could be.
It's already installed. The sports complex has already been completed, or at least partially. I believe it's all completed, but at least partially completed. And somebody who attended one of the webinars I gave about dark sky lighting put me in touch with the folks there. So I've been working with those municipal officials to look at, like many, many fixtures now that are sold, the fixtures that were installed are adjustable both in color temperature and in lumens. And so they're set right now to 4,000 Kelvin, and I've recommended to them to lower them to 3,000. That's as low as they can go, which still has a lot of blue in it, but as opposed to ripping down brand new fixtures, right, that's not going to happen. And also I have connected now with the lighting designers that did that design, and I'm hopefully going to get their file for what their target light levels were in the ground and see if the fixtures that have been installed can also be dimmed when they're in operation, but also add some controls to shut them off when they're not needed so they aren't burning all night.
Yeah, so there's still things that can be done to improve the light pollution there and keep their lighting adequate.
And that's a message I would tell people is that when you see an installation that goes in, especially new installations, but even installations for the last 5 years, if there are LED fixtures that to you look incredibly bright, have a lot of glare, you should not assume that that's the only way that fixture can be operated. Because almost every fixture sold in the last 5 years that's an LED for commercial purposes has the ability to be dimmed.
Really?
And yes, and many of them have internal switches, not all of them, but internal switches to just slide a switch and turn down the amount of lumens and change color temperature.
All of that in the fixtures that are sitting out there as glare bombs now.
Many of them, right?
Many of them.
Many of them.
Yeah.
And so if you have a situation like that, one of the first things to do is to talk to whoever owns that fixture and say, hey, do you know if your fixture has that capability? And if so, would you consider making a change? Because what I found, one example I did in Ontario, our eyes can't even pick up the difference when I made those changes, but it had a huge impact. I think it was a 70% reduction in sky glow in about a 30-second operation to turn some switches down.
So a ladder and a screwdriver and somebody who knows what to do.
That's it.
That's it.
You don't even have to be an electrician to do that. You can turn the power off, open the cover, slide those switches, close the cover, and turn the power back on. Anybody can do that.
I could do that.
You could do that. Absolutely, you could.
Yeah.
As long as you turn the power off first, you could do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what future projects do you think might be happening around here that would be interesting?
Well, I'm really hoping that I know they're going to order some more fixtures, for example, in Westby, these 2200K streetlights that I'm talking to Lafarge and to Cashin about doing the same thing. and I'm hoping that will expand into other communities locally. The thing I'm most excited about is that Lafarge installation in front of OV's buildings there on One Organic Way, because those, the manufacturer is providing us controls for 5 years that I can control each of those five poles individually from my phone. Hmm. And because of that, we can schedule them, we can dim them, whatever we want to do with them. I intend to make that a learning lab to bring public works folks in and electricians in. And because of the Kickapoo Valley Reserve, where all those 1,800K lights have been installed, is just a mile up the road or so.
Mm-hmm.
And the high-pressure sodium retrofit that was done in Lafarge in one of the neighborhoods to an acorn, just change that uplight component mm-hmm. there. They're mm-hmm. all really close by.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make that a learning lab to bring folks in. And I'm really excited about, because when people see these things, all the feedback I've gotten so far is positive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether that will continue forever, I don't know. But mm-hmm. so far, it's been universally positive. And so I'm looking forward to having more and more people see these things in action.
Mm-hmm.
I'm optimistic that the vast majority of them are going to want more of the same.
Well, you know, from being in Tucson as much as I am, and with a million people in the metropolitan area, and nobody's squeaking about the lighting there.
Yes.
And so I think you're on a trajectory that's probably going to look pretty positive to everybody, because these people have been doing it for decades down there, and they don't think there's a problem with dark sky lighting.
Right.
So.
I mean, I think we just haven't seen it. If you aren't yeah. exposed to it, you don't know what I'm asking you to do.
Yeah.
What does that mean when you ask me to do dark sky lighting? Right?
Yeah.
And so once you get a chance to experience it for yourself, you're like, oh, I like it. That looks
yeah.
good. It has less glare. It, you know, looks great. I love it. So
yeah.
I really think that's what's going to happen, is this snowball is going to keep getting bigger.
Yeah. And the response from the Lafarge utility people and the town board, the different officials you're working with there, has been really positive, hasn't
yeah,
it?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it really is. And it's been so encouraging to work with all these different communities and be able to make this kind of progress. And in Viroqua, on the Center Street project there, you know, to replace, not to replace, but to use a zero uplight fixture instead of a fixture with much more uplight, and to use a 2200 Kelvin fixture there instead of a 4000 Kelvin fixture, that's a really big deal. And so I'm looking forward to the folks that live in Viroqua when that project is done to see what that looks like. You can already go to Rock Avenue and look at the examples
yeah,
we put up
yeah.
there and
mm-hmm.
see what the different options were. But once you see five or six of them, whatever the number is going to be in the street, I think folks are going to go, yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, so this has been, for me, really exciting, because while you're busy out there doing that, I didn't really know all the changes that were going on in these communities. And I think this has been a really good overview of, folks, there's stuff in all the towns we live in that's good changes. There's good lighting changes. You could take a look and see what you think, because this is going to save the town a lot of money, and it's going to be better for our health and everything. So keep working, Scott. Don't stop.
All right. All right,
Susan. Thanks a lot for being here. I really appreciate the update for everybody.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. And folks, I hope that you take a little drive around your communities and look and see the new lighting fixtures, or talk to your town board or your administrators about what they think is going on there and what they like about it. And we'll talk with Scott again and see what the next updates are.